Today, plenty of waffle but no beef, the rental scandal that Pollies prefer to ignore. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analysis. Well, that is post covering finance and property news. In my live show with Leif Van Onselen yesterday, we pulled apart the major party campaigns relating to housing, which focused on those trying to buy and a promise of higher home prices for all, which will put a rocket under home prices ahead. But the real story and the accompanying policy vacuum relates to the rental sector. One third of households are renting, and the number continues to rise as people are squeezed out of home ownership. As I reported, my surveys show that more than 3 in 4 renters are under financial pressure, with many caught in the ugly situation of having to either accept significant further lifts in rents or have to enter the scrum to find another place which is more affordable. Australia is facing its worst rental crisis yet, with literal relief in sight for most renters, said Karen Walsh, Chief Executive, National Shelter. Many renters across Australia are hurting and in distress. As rents rise faster than wages, they're trapped into a relentless cycle, facing a reality where hope for a brighter future feels increasingly out of reach. Spot on. We are seeing a significant increase in households on low incomes forced to compete with higher income households in the private rental markets, Walsh said. Many low income households are eventually squeezed out, often into homelessness. Yet, this large and growing segment of the population, which by the way includes more than 200,000 fresh migrants into the country entering rental stress, are simply largely ignored in the current political discourse. Indeed, as the ABC reported, skyrocketing rents have outpaced income growth in every regional area in Australia and in all but one capital city. This is a reversal from the previous decade, during which incomes generally grew faster than rents. In Perth, Australia's least affordable city for renters, median rent has risen 5.2 times faster than income since the start of the pandemic, soaring by 79% between 2020 and 2024, compared to a 15% rise in average rental household incomes. In both Sydney and regional Western Australia, median rents have surged roughly 4 times faster than average incomes, while in Melbourne and regional Queensland, rents have risen at least 3.5 times faster. In Brisbane, regional New South Wales and regional Victoria, rents rose more than 3 times faster than incomes. The gaping chasm between rent and incomes have been laid bare in data shared exclusively with the ABC by Melbourne-based consultancy SGS Economics and Planning and Peak Housing Body National Shelter. The figures from the Rental Affordability Index calculate that median rent from rental bond lodgements in every state and territory except the Northern Territory, where data has not been made available. The average rental household income is derived from the Australian Bureau of Statistics Census and average earnings data. Economist Ellen Witt, SGS Economics and Planning Principal, told the ABC that while the figures were the worst on record, the reality is likely to be even worse. This is because the index uses averages rather than median incomes. The median is the figure that splits the data equally, so half of incomes are higher and half are lower. The average income figure is pushed up by a small proportion of very high income earners, whereas the median income, which is lower, would be a bit closer to what is a real lived experience, Witt said. However, median income data was not available for all of the regions, so in some ways, the picture we paint is a bit more rosy than what people really experience, Witt said. In Perth, rental affordability has hit its worst level in the decade, thanks to a perfect storm of rising interest rates, a resource boom, population surge, and creeping inflation. Previously affordable areas such as Adelaide, Brisbane, and even regional Queensland have fallen prey to enormous interstate migration from people seeking a better lifestyle with a cheaper price tag. But of course, when you've got huge waves of migrants into an affordable housing market, that makes the housing market unaffordable because it can't cope with the sudden influx of people, said Curtin University economist Rachel On. In both Adelaide and Brisbane, rents have leapt by close to 52% compared to an income rise of 20% for Adelaide and 17% in Brisbane. In regional Queensland, rents have surged by nearly 60%, while incomes climbed less than 17%. The current rental crisis is driven by a combination of factors, including a long-running undersupply of housing, increased building material costs, rising interest rates, extremely low vacancy rates, and an acute shortage of social housing. Ms. Witt said some landlords took advantage of the situation to the extent that rent increases are actually a key driver of the cost of living crisis. The only jurisdiction where incomes have more or less kept pace with rents is the ACT, where rent increases have been capped since 2019. Under the rule, rent increases are limited to 10% above inflation for rents. Rental households in the ACT have the highest average income in any Australian jurisdiction, but pay only the fifth highest amount in rent. With a median rent of $595 a week, it's now cheaper to rent in the ACT than in regional Queensland, where the median rent has shot up from $380 a week in 2020 to $607 in 2024. Ms. Witt said the evidence from both the ACT and overseas shows that capping rent increases could not only ease pressure on renters, but on the whole economy. If you applied such a rule nationally, you could actually limit inflation. And then maybe we could see some reduced interest rates much earlier than what we did. Both Ms. Witt and Ms. Walsh agree that there was little hope on the horizon for renters, saying both major parties were more focused on increasing home ownership than delivering relief for renters. National Shelter has called on the government to increase investment in social and affordable housing, introduce greater protection for renters, and reduce tax breaks that encourage speculation on housing, among other policies. But there is another side to the equation, because half of all investment properties have been resold within 2 years of tenants living them. That's according to new data from the Australian Housing and Urban Research Institute, or AHURI. The research, based on data from a large and long-running survey from the Melbourne Institute, shows people aged 25 to 34 years are more likely to buy a rental property compared to other age groups, but also more likely to sell quickly. And in fact, our own research shows many are simply underwater from a cash flow perspective, with little or no capital growth, despite the tax breaks and other incentives. And the centre of gravity for this problem is actually Melbourne. The AHURI research also found 28% of landlords provided a private rental property for 20 years or more, which provides much more stability for renters. The research is drawn from data from the Household Income and Labour Dynamics in Australia survey, the HILDA data survey, which collects information from more than 17,000 Australians each year. But of course, it's not up to date, with the latest round as much as 3 years behind current reality. And my suspicion is things have got worse over that period. Sina Lecher from Curtin University and lead author of the research, Ranjav Singh, said those selling property often means the end of a rental agreement for tenants, which Singh says can be quite distressing for those living in the home. That's an understatement. You have to move out and look for another place to live, and that happens at a very short cycle, about 2 years or even less, he explained. It gives you that precarious feeling that you're not quite settled. You might have kids going to the school, or you might have an employment that's next door, and it seemed like a perfect fit. But now you have to move out and possibly move far away from all of those things. Data from SQM Research says the national average rental vacancy rate was back down to just 1.1% in March from an already low 1.5% in January, causing asking rents to rise 0.3% last month. And the latest research from CoreLogic shows national rents rose 1.7% over the March quarter, up from 0.4% in the December quarter. While CoreLogic's head of research, Tim Lawless, said these figures were seasonal because of an influx of student renters at the start of the university semesters and rental renewals, rental affordability is at record highs. We still see rents rising at about 3.5 to nearly 4% per annum, which is still above average, he said. Renters are dedicating roughly about a third of their incomes in their gross annual incomes to paying their rent. So I think the sense that renters are going backwards, that's probably concerning a lot of renters. Lawless said many households are having to make adjustments to keep a lid on their rental outlays. Given how stressed affordability is, We're seeing now adjustments to larger households, more group households, more multi-generational households, which in itself is helping to de-amplify rental demand. And I'd make the point that some of the increases are not showing through in the advertised rents because they're being applied to existing renters who decide to stay and just pay more. The housing policies announced over the weekend by the two major parties didn't consider renters in the equation. It feels like they're shifting the conversation away from a real key important element in this whole situation. And in fact, speaking on ABC News Channel, Maisie Aziz from Everybody's Home, a national campaign dedicated to fixing Australia's housing crisis, and a former National Secretary for the Greens, said it was a huge problem, but there had not been any significant major party announcements for renters. 640,000 renters across the country are in really, really extreme rental stress. There is just nothing put on the table for them this federal election, which is really disappointing to see. Ms. Aziz said that Everybody's Home campaign was calling for limits to rent increases. We've got this working in Australia here in the ACT. There are limits on how much further than CPI landlords can increase the rent by. And we think that's a pretty good model, she said. The only major party with a policy on long-term rental security is the Greens. The party has the National Renters Watchdog, which includes the right to guaranteed lease renewals and access to five-year leases. Labour's National Cabinet has agreed to, quote, a better deal for renters to harmonise and strengthen renters' rights across Australia, which includes limiting rent increases to once a year and phasing in minimum rental standards. And it also plans to use the Council of Australian Governments to help standardise renting rules nationally. But 2 points. The first is, I'm not convinced that the ACT model is actually that effective. It's more to do with the much higher incomes in the ACT than anything else, which of course is not something we're seeing elsewhere. And secondly, the Greens policy, of course, is also built on the back of very strong migration. And I've said for some time that migration is one of the other factors in all of this that is putting huge pressure on the rental sector. So the bottom line is that those in the rental sector are being largely ignored in this current campaign, and they are perhaps the least vocal and the least able to fight back, which is a problem. And more broadly, the question of property investors leaving the investment sector is also very important too, because we're seeing more of that in spades now because the net returns are actually underwater. The solution from the Labor government seems to be to try and encourage investment in housing through corporations building property for rent. But all the analysis that we've done suggests that that's going to put more upward pressure on rentals and not solve the problem in the areas that needs it most. So this is a policy vacuum as we come up to the next election. And unfortunately, no one in the government circles really wants to discuss it. Shame on them. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.